On Saturday, October the 2nd, the Institute for Social Policy and Understanding is hosting its annual banquet. For the second year out of public health considerations, it's a gala online event and will include the presentation of this year's Young Scholar Award to Dr. Sama Chowdhury of Ithaca College. Both the event and Dr. Chowdhury's topic are well worth our attention, and so I am very happy to welcome her now to State of Belief Radio. Sama, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here and to be the recipient of this year's prize.
So your topic is What Makes Humor Muslim? What in the world got you thinking about this?
Yeah, so, you know, my research looks at the ways that Muslims have been constructed through the medium of humor in the contemporary United States. And a lot of people ask me, why humor? And we ask this question, but already we implicitly recognize that there is a relationship between Muslims and humor, though perhaps it's less a relationship between Muslims and humor, and instead one between Muslims and a lack of humor. So that relationship, especially in the last 40 some odd years, is something that feels and indeed has been made to feel very natural. Muslims are stoic, unfriendly, they're stubborn, quick to fly off the handle when you may offend them. They just can't take a joke. And so there's global flashpoints in our recent history that undergird this assumption, right? Yeah. We have what gets dubbed the Salman Rushdie affair in the 90s. The Danish cartoon controversy in 2005, the Charlie Hebdo shooting in 2015, and the social debates that have always followed these incidents seem to boil down in my mind to two very persistent questions, which is why can't Muslims take a joke? And is Islam therefore compatible with modernity? Hmm. Now, there have been scholars who have taken up this charge, right? Some have argued that you need look no further than the very earliest episodes of Islamic history for proof of Muslim humor, that you can find instances throughout the Quran. There are documented references to the Prophet Muhammad and his companions as lighthearted jokesters, you know, who would mess around with each other, were always laughing, and whose levity would therefore be something that would be emulated by later generations of Muslims. And if it wasn't being emulated, it certainly wasn't because the Prophet himself was not a funny guy. And then there's still others who point to more contemporary emergences of, you know, Muslim comedians, particularly after 9/11, when, at least during that time, to laugh and laughter in general became a symbol of freedom and a value of American democracy. Mm. But what I'm trying to articulate through my work is how and why humor, this ability to joke, to take a joke, has actually become a de facto principle of modernity, an admirable personality trait that defines a modern person. And I think without an understanding of how humor and modernity actually come to stand in for one another, what roles gender and race and religion have played in that development, then our discourses are really doomed to continue returning to that same tired premise where Islam is pitted against modernity without any greater comprehension as to why this premise is so naturally assumed at the outset. So that's what I'm trying to do here.
Tell us how what you're seeing about Muslim humor relates to, say, Jewish humor or humor of another group.
Sure. So what I am arguing here is that even though we may assume humor to be a very universal category of communication, I would argue that the way it gets marshaled and demanded of minority communities, including Jewish communities, certainly at the beginning of the 20th century, we saw a lot of this, that this is a mode of secular discourse, and that by speaking it, by embodying it, these minoritized subjects can demonstrate their fitness for modern society, for secular society, despite the, you know, otherwise gendered or racialized meanings that are emanating from their bodies. So the way that Muslims, for example, are spoken of, the way that they're imagined has become very muddled with the way we talk about race today. Mm-hmm. Much of that has come out of the rampant anti-Muslim hostility and Islamophobia across places like the U.S. Yeah. and the need that folks have felt to counter that hostility in the academy, in social justice activism. But this, I'm arguing, has resulted in the use of racial nomenclature as the primary frame through which to understand Muslim identity. Hmm. So by using this language of, you could call a racial overlay, we are eclipsing religious identities and difference, right? Insisting that they fit into the secular structures and the orders of multiculturalism and diversity that we, you know, hold up as emblematic of the United mm-hmm. States. And this is something that other minoritized communities, like I've said, have gone through before. In the early 20th century, there's, you know, a lot of people talk about the Borscht Belt, right? Where Jewish comedians would kind of turn that lens back on themselves, making fun of themselves vis-a-vis the communities that they live in, and that this was a way of indicating not just their Americanness, but their belonging and part in the American social fabric. And I think that's also the effort that's being made by a lot of Muslim comedians, but we want to question that premise and why that need comes about in the first place. Mm.
Samaa, personal question. What does it mean to you to receive this recognition, the Young Scholar Award from the Institute?
This is so meaningful to me because it's an opportunity to speak to folks like you about my work. I'm so honored to have been chosen for this award, for the platform that, you know, it's giving me here to think about the things that I'd like to think about, along with a lot more people this time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really grateful to the Institute for sharing their platform with me and giving me a space to think out loud with a much bigger audience.
Well, before we go, talk a little bit about the work that you're currently doing at Ithaca College and what you would like to focus on going forward.
Sure. So at Ithaca College, I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Philosophy and Religion. Here I'm teaching courses this semester on race and religion, on notions of heaven and hell and afterlife. I've got a great batch of students, and I'm really excited to keep teaching here and to also devote time to my book project, which will be thinking about the things that we just talked about here today, hopefully coming out in a few years, but we'll see where that goes.
Well, you got to let us know when that comes out.
Will do.
Samaa Shuthuri is the recipient of the 2021 Young Scholar Award from the Institute for Social Policy and Understanding. Dr. Shuthuri will receive her award at the Institute's annual banquet, which is taking place online on Saturday, October the 2nd. Find all the details at ispu.org, and we'll link to the registration page from stateofbelief.com. Samaa, congratulations, and thank you so very much for being with us today on such a great topic on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift as we celebrate 15 years of continuous broadcasting. We would be so grateful. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was.